Several years ago, in a documentary on the history of baseball, the historian Doris Kearns Goodwin told of her experience with the 1986 World Series. Some of you may remember that series. Now, Goodwin is a lifelong Red Sox fan, a challenging vocation for most of the 20th century, second only to being a fan of the long-suffering Chicago Cubs. And in this documentary, she tells the story of watching that famous Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, where the Red Sox managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, forcing a deciding final game 2 days later, which, as most of us know, ended badly for Boston as well. For those of you who don't know, as Boston was on the brink of winning Game 6, and thereby the series, two very unusual things happened. The Boston pitcher threw a wild pitch, allowing the New York Mets to tie the game, followed by Boston's first baseman, Bill Buckner, allowing a ground ball to roll through his legs, leading to the winning run for New York. Goodwin relates that she was so shocked and distraught after seeing her team about to win the title after 68 years of futile efforts, only to blow it in the most unlikely way. She was unable to bring herself to watch the deciding game 2 days later. As her children watched that final game in the den and she cleaned up in the kitchen, her kids would periodically run in to update her on the score. First, Boston was winning. Then they were losing. Then they had lost. And when her children turned off the TV and came in to tell her the final outcome of the game, she started crying. Her children embraced her and said, "Don't worry, Mom, they'll win next year." And in the documentary, Goodwin says to the camera, "I didn't have the heart to tell them. They didn't know that the Red Sox wouldn't win the next year. In fact, they hadn't won since long before I was born. I just couldn't tell them." I bring up the story as a way to address the declaration which Jesus makes in today's gospel. After the apostle Thomas, he of doubting Thomas fame, sees the marks of Christ's crucifixion, he confesses his faith and says, "My Lord and my God." To which Jesus responds, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Doris Goodwin's children had not seen the Red Sox win the World Series, yet they believed they would. Goodwin herself had never seen it, and her faith was tenuous, if not altogether gone. For those of us who don't see, how do we come to believe? Today's reading from the Gospel of John comes to us from the second to last chapter of that book. And by this point, Jesus' time among his disciples is coming to a close. He knows that soon he will ascend to his Father's right hand, and neither his disciples nor anyone else will be able to see him heal the sick or cast out demons or multiply loaves and fishes anymore. The time is coming when believing in Christ will not be able to come from seeing Christ. It will have to come from somewhere else. We all know the expression that seeing is believing. When you see something, very little faith is necessary to believe it. And a faith without faith doesn't really live up to its name, does it? Faith that rests in the certainty of sensory perception isn't all that interesting, if you ask me. To say that I have faith that limes are green is really pretty thin gruel, spiritually speaking. A few years back, the New Yorker magazine had an article about an Amazonian tribe called the Pitahan. Now, a linguist who had spent years studying their language had discovered that they perceive reality according to what exists within the boundaries of their direct experience. what they can see or hear, or what someone living can see or hear. Nothing else. The linguist wrote that, quote, "Whenever someone walks around the bend in the river, the Pitahans say that the person has not simply gone away, but has gone out of experience." The Pitahan may be the ultimate human expression of the saying that seeing is believing, and the limits that such a mindset can place on understanding our place in the world that is most certainly greater than what we can see or hear. Jesus is today calling those of us who do not see him, i.e. everyone in this room and everyone on this planet, to something not only more challenging than what Thomas experienced when he saw the risen Christ, but something more rewarding as well. To have faith in something we cannot touch with our own hands. But if we don't believe in Jesus because we see him, why do we do it? Why do we believe in a God that we do not see? The answer to that question is a long one and may well be different for different Christians, but at the root of it all is this: believing in Jesus Christ is how we are able to be most truly alive, just as Christ himself was truly alive when Thomas professed him as Lord and God. The incarnation of God into the world in Jesus Christ, God living among us, makes us more truly alive. Following Jesus' teachings and example makes us more truly alive. Living with him through his suffering and death makes us more truly alive. And having faith in his resurrection from the dead to new life, just as St. Thomas did after his initial doubts, makes us more truly alive. It resurrects our spirits in this life, even as it will resurrect our bodies in the next. Living the Christian life makes us the most truly alive that we can possibly be. This is why we believe, even though we haven't seen. I won't even say it makes us the happiest we could possibly be. You might be able to find other ways to spend your Sunday mornings that would make you happier in that moment. You could well find ways of living or believing that might make you happier on a given day. But if what we're after is to be as truly alive as we can possibly be, living with compassion and hope and joy, then believing in Christ is the path we should follow. All of us, either consciously or subconsciously, have at times in our lives considered other paths, maybe other faiths, or maybe none at all. But we have arrived to sit at the feet of Christ because we have found the truth that will make us most truly alive. As St. Peter says in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." When you have found that which makes you the most truly alive that you can possibly be, then you have found the words of eternal life. And then, like St. Peter and St. Thomas, you don't go anywhere else. Now, I probably don't need to tell any of you this, but it's a good ending to how I began the sermon, so I'll do it anyway. On October 27th, 2004, 18 years after Doris Kearns Goodwin cried in front of her children, and 86 years after they had last claimed the title, the Boston Red Sox finally won the World Series. Perhaps Doris Goodwin cried again, this time tears of joy, along with the rest of New England. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one